Welcome to episode 308 of the Ben Briggs podcast. I am Ben Briggs. It is Sunday, people. Sunday, the 1st of October, 2023. And I hope you are starting your fall. Is it fall yet? Fall season? Autumn, as we say here in fucking Blighty, isn't it? It's almost that time of year, isn't it? It is. Everything's drawing in. The nights are getting darker, particularly over here. Soon to be even more darker when we change the fucking clocks. Yeah, I hope you're doing well out there. I hope you've had a good fucking week. Come on now. Let's crack on into this deep, depressing part of the year. Oh, Ben, why are you starting the podcast like that? Yeah, it's been one of them weeks, people. This week, it's been one of those weeks. So it is 9 o'clock at night here. I know it's late. I know. I keep saying to myself, I'm going to get up early on a Sunday. I'm going to get this fucking shit done early. Get it out the way. But today has been a day of. A day of rest, people. Here on the Ben Briggs podcast, on the Sabbath, he says, almost not being able to say the word podcast. Jesus Christ! I swear to God, I'm losing my mind, people. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been one of those weeks. It's not been too fantastic, but it's been all right. Gig wise, it's been quite good. I've been running through some new stuff this week, running it out there, throwing some shit at that fucking wall, see if any of it, any possibility of it sticking. I did a new material night in Northampton, which was kind of, I think it was Wednesday night for the Comedy Crate guys. There you go. Northampton's finest comedy promoters. There you go, lads. You get a bit of a shout out there. I did a new material night on Wednesday night in Northampton, which was lovely. It's a lovely little coffee shop in Northampton. There must be about, I don't know, 20, 30 people in there. And I specifically did it to do like a newer bit that I've been doing. Now, the bit I've been doing might freak you out because it seems to freak audiences out a little bit. to say the least. Well, specifically the white people in the audience, I think, because it's a bit about the Black Lives Matter movement that seems to be, I don't know why that stopped. The backup for this has stopped, so I have no idea why that stopped. It's fucking annoying. Every time you fucking switch this equipment on, there's something totally different, and now something's buzzing. What the fuck is that? Oh, I don't know. My phone's gone off for some reason. Fuck off. I don't want to connect up to that. That's it. Oh, fuck's sake. Anyway, every time you fucking switch this shit on, switch the fucking monitors on, and they're like back to front, so you have to reset that shit. You put your phone anywhere near my MacBook, and it suddenly connects to my phone. For fuck's sake. Everything's interconnected these days, isn't it? You know, if somebody hacks into anything you've got, they've got everything these days, because you have to open an account for fucking every single thing you do. You know. I'm taking my car in for its MOT on Tuesday, and you have to now have an app for your car MOT. You know, my car's got its own fucking app now that you have to download. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, race. That's an easy subject to get distracted from. Apparently so. But anyway, so I'm doing this stuff. I'll talk you through the material. Basically, the material deals with how, or is trying to highlight or trying to make fun of the people who sort of like virtue signal with a topic or anything that's popular of the moment, and we'll post about that online, and then suddenly they'll move on to something else. Point in case with the material is the Black Lives Matter movement, and then people just posting about that for a week. Mainly, by the way, white middle class people posting about that for a week, and then suddenly they were all posting about Ukraine and seemed to forget about that. So that's like the basic basic idea behind the material, saying that there's basically some subjects they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be like a fly-by-night fad. You know what I mean? That should be something that sticks with us, shouldn't it? Am I mental for saying that? It would seem so when you're doing this material on stage, or maybe it's just the fact that it's a white guy with a skinhead talking about race. I don't know. But anyway, on Wednesday night, I did this stuff. I've done it before. I've done it before at a predominantly black gig in Milton Keynes. The promoter for that gig is also an act, and he was actually down doing material on this night on Wednesday. So it's a predominantly white audience. I know what that's like. They're middle class as well. It's a fucking coffee shop on a fucking Wednesday night, isn't it? So they've all taken a break from all the white people down there are taking a break from taking their King Charles Cocker Spaniels for a walk. I imagine. Or their cockapoos or whatever they've got. Isn't it? That's what they've got, isn't it? It was an audience of King Charles Cocker Spaniel owners, basically. That's a very stereotypical white dog to have, I think. you know, if there are stereotypical dogs for particular races, the King Charles Cocker Spaniel is definitely a white person's dog. I don't know why that is, but I've never known anybody from any other race. If you know anybody from any other race than the Caucasian race who owns a King Charles Cocker Spaniel, please write in with me and send me a picture of it with said owner. Because I do not know any white, non-white people who have ever owned a King Charles Cocker Spaniel. Let's have some tea. Hang on. So it's predominantly that sort of audience. I'm trying to explain to get into the material that the is going to make some people in the audience feel uncomfortable, mainly the white people. And what they do is endlessly, they will look at, anyone in the audience will kind of seek out with their eyes anybody who's non-white and sort of like just casually look across at them, which exactly happened at this gig whilst I was explaining that some of them would feel uncomfortable and look round to other non-white people to see if they're laughing, right? You couldn't have timed it any better with this woman at the back who was in her 50s. I don't know why people do that. Well, I do know why, because they don't know where it's going and they feel awkward and they're not relaxed. I was having this conversation this night, right, with one of the acts, Ryan, who was MCing that night. And you forget about this sometimes, that by doing stand-up, you meet so many people from so many different backgrounds. You meet, like, different genders, different sexualities, different races, different socioeconomic backgrounds. You meet so many different people. And you forget that most people don't. Most people stick to their own socioeconomic groups or their own sort of like gender diverse groups. or their specific genders or their specific races. You forget that by doing stand-up, you're in a privileged position, for want of a better word, privilege, that allows you to meet and become friends with and chat with so many different types of people, which totally broadens your perspective on things. I'm a strong believer in that, people. The more different people you meet, give a shit less about the differences between people and just judge people on an individual basis. I know I'm fucking, you know, sounding like a woke here, but I think the more different types of people you meet, the better. That's it. I said it out there, people. And I know that's not a fucking, you know, that's not a new revelation to anybody out there. But I'm a big believer in that. And you forget that most people don't travel around the country most nights meeting all sorts of different people. So they're going to be a little bit uptight if you mention sort of like race, or anything like that on stage, particularly coming from a white guy who looks like me, because, you know, let's be honest, I look like I was one of the first sign-ups for any far-right white organisation. Don't know. I'm a white guy with a skinhead and a fucking massive scar on my face. All I need is the love and hate fucking tattoos on my knuckles. Hey Ben, not everyone with love and hate on their knuckles is a fucking meathead fucking racist. I know, but they used to be, and then hipsters changed all that, didn't they? They brought racist aggressive tattoos back, didn't they, with a slant of irony on it, and all of a sudden we're meant to accept them. That used to be a big indicator that somebody was a fucking moron, didn't it? Not that they work in IT. You know, I had that down, didn't I? Neck tattoo, love and hate on the knuckles, fucking idiot. You know, and now they could be an entrepreneur. They own a fucking coffee shop. Times change, people. That's it, isn't it? You have to reassess everything, don't you? You still get that, though. You still get the old, like, fucking knuckle draggers with a fucking tattoo on their neck, don't you? You just have to now engage them in conversation to work out what they are, hipster or fucking knuckle dragger. That's it. It's made it worse. Usually, you know, years ago, I wouldn't even bother talking to people like that because you fucking knew what their point of view was on everything. Now, I don't know. You know, they've either just kicked somebody's head in or just made a fucking latte for somebody. Who knows? If they're wearing a pinny, I think that's a giveaway. Possibly a barista. So anyway, let's get back on track here. Talking about coffee, let's have a little sip of tea. So I do the material. And it's essentially about, as I said, sort of like highlighting the people who seem to move from one charity or one fucking bit of virtual signaling to another, basically to make themselves look good. Yes, I know it's raising awareness. They do it under that guise, don't they? Hey, man, I'm just raising awareness and supporting this. What, for a week? And now you're going to move on to something else? You can't support, yes, you can support stuff, you know what I mean? You can support things and be behind stuff, but you can't just jump from one, you can't just tick that box and go, okay, we've done that now, let's move on, which is really odd because it's the first time, because it was a predominantly white audience in there. There was obviously, there was about three or four black people in there. But it was predominantly white audience. So I took the opportunity just to ask, why is it got weird in the room? I mean, obviously, I had to work at it to keep it okay. It got a bit weird in the room, and I asked why it was so weird. And nobody wanted to give me an answer. Nobody wanted to say anything. And I had to really push because it's a new material night. I want it to make it kind of, you just don't want to preach to the converted. You know what I mean? You don't want to just go do that material at black gigs and not do them at predominantly white gigs either, because that's not the point of that stuff. The point of the stuff is highlighting, I don't know. I know it's meant to be funny. It is funny. I think it's funny. Like highlighting how people do that. I think in between the chinks of that sort of, you know, where those issues meet, there's humour in the way that we behave as human beings. It's ridiculous sometimes. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous how we try and negotiate things like that, because we're not trying to offend, and then you do offend by not trying to offend. And that's humorous to me, isn't it? All those little social cues that we're trying to tick, but whilst we're trying to do that, we're still offending people or not being as broad-minded as we should be. And the interesting thing about doing the material is you're actually more worried about the reaction from black people than white people. Obviously, because I'm white, you want them to enjoy it and know that you're coming from a place that isn't the way you're probably depicted in your demeanor. And by doing that, you're sort of like treating people differently. Because you're looking for a good reaction from black people, and in itself is possibly a little bit racist. I don't know. It's wheels within wheels with this material, people. But you're basically trying to highlight people who move from one subject to the next. You know what I mean? Or one issue to the next. And oddly enough, I kind of pushed it a little bit because it's a new material night. So you're just being honest and go, why is this material making everybody so fucking weird? Nobody could answer. And then suddenly this guy pops up and said, well, because it's not part of the zeitgeist now. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, it's gone. He was a white guy, by the way, but you couldn't really blame him. I know it seems... It seems a bad statement to make. It's not part of the zeitgeist. But that's the thing, I think. I think the thing is, people, we're inundated these days with so many different fucking causes on social media and things that are happening in the world that we're hyper aware of these days. And you want to show your support from one thing to another thing, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, you know, that's all out of the news. And then it's something else. And but important issues like the Black Lives Matter movement, important issues get thrown in and lost by the wayside like everything else, because we're so used to just like any issue that throws up, throwing our weight behind it, and then we throw our energy into something else. But there's certain issues that should be universal across the board. They shouldn't just be fly-by-night fads like fucking, you know, Lolo balls or rollerblading or something like that. You know what I mean? There's some things that need to stick, people. And I think it was an interesting point that he made. Albeit in a clumsy way, that by saying that it's not part of the zeitgeist, it just highlights how disposable certain causes are in our society. And that's the fucking, probably the angle to take that material in, which I was trying to do anyway, but it kind of just highlighted by somebody saying that, that's the way to take it. But I don't know. That's fucking 20 minutes talking about that. Jesus. We were walking across a few fucking cracks there, people, weren't we? I don't know. But it was so interesting sort of like getting that, getting that sort of like stamp on it and trying to, and just knowing that that material is, any material about race is always going to make a white audience feel uncomfortable. So you have to sort of like go in there a little bit knowing that it's going to make them feel uncomfortable. But you can't go in the same way every fucking time. It's a real weird thing we have about race in this country. Because I think we're quite open. The majority of people are quite open, don't really give a fuck about people's race. But there's, we do it to a certain point. It's a very British way that we handle it. You know, we don't really talk about it, sweep it under the carpet. And if anybody does talk about it, they're immediately branded a racist. But, like, to be honest, the only people who seem to talk about it that much are far-right people about immigrants coming into the country. So you can't fucking blame people for not wanting to talk about it. But it's... I find it such an interesting discussion, all the different permutations of it and how awkward we are, how Britishly awkward we are sometimes about talking any sort of like racial issues or anything like that. And then you had the whole thing, obviously, with the Black Lives Matter movement where people were like, ah, but don't all lives matter? And you're like, fuck off. You're just, they're not, you know, they're not trying to take anything away from you. They're just highlighting, you know, I know, you know. And the material goes down the route of saying, you know, like, you know, that basically means I'm white. What about me? Didn't it? Everybody who ever mentioned that when that came out was fucking white. There wasn't any Asian or black people saying, well, don't all lives matter? You know, not that I was aware of anyway. It was 100%, 100% white people posting that. And it was just, I don't know, man. It's just very disappointing. But there you go. Anyway, let's have some... let's have some tea there. Anyway, talking about race, this is not related to it at all. So that was one new material gig I did this week. Then I did an emceeing gig. I was comparing, hosting, if you will, a lovely little place in Tamworth, a little pub in Tamworth. I forget the name of it. I forget what it was called. Was that a coffee shop as well? I think it might have been. It was number 18 coffee shop in, there must have been about, I don't know, 70, 80 people all crammed in this room. And then it was the same old story when I MC, compare host. There was a fucking annoying woman on the front. Well, to be fair, she just wouldn't shut up all night. She kept chipping in. She thought the gig was about her. It happens sometimes, you know what I mean? I didn't realise this until the end, that it was alcohol-fueled. She was a 70-year-old woman. You know, she'd been married 52 years, got married when she was 18, you know, with the same husband, who I imagine is partially deaf. but yeah, you just get it. Like, and I engaged with her the first section and she was all right. And then she kept chipping in and then she kept getting louder and louder as the drink got on. And I had to give her a bit of a whoosh. Bit of a whipping by the end of it. But it's very interesting, like, if you are emceeing and you get somebody like that, because they can add to the evening a little bit. Like in the first section, she added to the evening a little bit, and then that the add-in seems to start subtracting from the evening. You can definitely see a tipping point You know what I mean? There's a definite tipping point. And there ought to be a thing where you just, like, give them a fucking yellow card, you know. Just give them a fucking booking and go, you know, you're starting to teeter over. Yes, you're engaging in the first section, and that was good, and I enjoyed that because it allowed me to think on my feet and establish myself as some sort of authority figure for the evening. But now you're starting to take the piss, sweetheart. You're starting to fucking try and own the night. And I have not been doing this fucking 16 years for you to try and own the night. So, I don't know. It's very interesting when people just get too carried away. And I, because I don't really drink that much now, it's very rarely I have a drink. And it's very rarely that I'm around drunk people. I know that sounds odd. I know that sounds odd because I'm like do gigs sort of like in places and people are hammered, but I'm not around those people a lot. You know, like I'm not talking to them or anything like that. I do my bit and I go. Friday night, this has got to be one of my best ever. Friday night, I picked up a gig in Cambridge. I got to Cambridge at 10 to 8. By half past 8, I was opening. By half past 8, I'd come off stage, been paid, and I was on my way out of Cambridge. 40 minutes I was in Cambridge. It was a fuck. That's the fucking dream, people. I don't hang around after gigs chatting to people or anything like that. I'm in and out in no fucking time. That's the way I like it. I don't really hang around like drunk people. I don't talk to them after the gig. If people come up and say stuff, I go, oh, thanks a lot, mate. Cheers. Try not to shake their hand. Give them a fist bump, which is always awkward. Can't we outlaw that, shaking hands? I really appreciated the pandemic. That's one thing I miss about the pandemic, the fact that people now want to give you their sweaty fucking palm, that they've probably just been to the toilet, not washed their hands, but for some reason it's still damp because they can't control their pecker when they're fucking pissing out of it. And I'm fist bump all the way now. I ought to, I want to wear a t-shirt that says, do not shake my hand, just put out a fist. That's probably a bad t-shirt to have actually in certain areas. Just put out a fist. Don't mind if I do, darling. And it's awkward because people seem to insist and take like offense that you're not fucking shaking their hand. I don't want to shake your fucking piss. You could have been fucking tugging yourself off 5 minutes. You know, or you had an itch around your asshole. You're busy. You've had a busy day. You've not wiped properly. You know, there's a bit of residue. Now that's going on to my hand, isn't it? I don't want that. Nobody wants that, do they? Nobody wants arse residue from somebody else all over their hand, do they? You know, you've still got, you know, we're having bodily contact with a fist. Or I'll start wearing fucking surgical gloves. That's when you're going into the realms of the weird, though, isn't it? That's when you're going into the realms of weirdo, isn't it? When you start wearing surgical gloves and fucking, you know. I've got hand sanitizer and shit like that in the car. But when you start hand sanitizing every time you fucking shake hands with somebody or putting on surgical gloves, that's what I ought to say. How much do you fucking want this handshake? Really? How much, you know... How much do you really need this handshake? Are you that fucking vulnerable and weak? Yeah, I said it, weak, that you can't take somebody fucking denying you a fucking handshake. It's like somebody, oh God, somebody I used to know, I fucking haven't spoke to in a long time. Don't intend on speaking to for a long time either. Here we go, there's a story behind this, Ben. They used to get offended, they'd offer you a cup of tea. And you go, oh, no, I'm okay, thanks. I'm all right. I don't want a cup of tea. Oh, well, fuck you then. What the? Okay, just say, you know, just take it that I don't want a cup of tea. What do you want me to do? Just keep drinking gallons and gallons of tea? Not that that's not out of my realms of possibility of doing. Gallons and gallons of tea just to appease you and your fucking weak mind. Here we go. Oh, my God. This is how we're going to end it. Let's have some tea anyway on that note. So this is a bit of a hodgepodge podcast, I suppose. I had other things to talk about, but it's half an hour. We've done it, and it's getting late. I will be back. I know I've talked mainly about one subject, but it fascinates me how people react to it. How people react to difficult material that you're talking about. And it is funny. You know, I'm not just talking about it for the sake of talking about it. I'm trying to make a point and trying to be funny as well. But I'll find a way out to make it work in front of a white audience, whether they're in a hostage situation or not. There's, oddly enough, there was a German guy in the audience that night. And after I did that material, I said, okay, that's that. Let's get on to some more material that's not going to make you feel uncomfortable. Anyway, the Holocaust. I had to throw that German guy under the bus, man, just to get the gig back on track. Sometimes you've got to do that. Oh, new material. New material, man. If only we could just stick with the same 20 minutes like some acts do. For the whole of their careers, make it universal. Who needs updated references? Just talk about fucking stuff that happened in the 90s. That's it. dear, we'll get there. We'll get there. Anyway, that is episode 308 of the Ben Briggs podcast. If you enjoy watching this, you can listen to it as well. Obviously, I don't know why I'm fucking saying that. Yes, so that's episode 308. He says, losing his train of thought there. I will be back next Sunday, motherfuckers. Oh, yes. I shall be back next Sunday. Have a fucking great week. Kick fucking the shit out of October. It's the first. Who knows where you're going to be by the end of October? Possibly a Halloween party. That's something we've got to look forward to, isn't it? Americanized situation going on there. Situation, Americanized festival. Anyway, I'll be back next Sunday. Have a fucking good working week. If you do know any non-white people with a King Charles Cocker Spaniel, fucking let me know immediately. I need to know this so I can change my whole cultural perspective on dog owners. I will speak to you next Sunday. Take care.